Welcome, baseball fans, to another Baseball America podcast. I'm Nathan Rohde alongside Connor Glassy, coming to you live from the DeMarini Demo House podcast nook in Durham, North Carolina. When it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy. Because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right. Visit your nearest demo house today. Locations and full details can be found at demarini.com/demohouse. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's upon us, another high school season. The last time Connor and I joined you was the end of October, beginning of November, discussing the end of the high school showcase season. Now it is the end of February, and we are talking to you about the beginning of the high school baseball season altogether. We're talking about spring games. You're listening to this on Wednesday, February 24th, and today is the beginning of the high school preview online, which is also going to be available in the issue, which will be on newsstands very soon. And more content will come out tomorrow, Thursday, February 25th. A little bit of what will be in the high school preview, I'll tell you, and then Connor and I will discuss it a little bit. We both worked very hard on it and are both very relieved, at least I can say so for myself, that it is finished. It's a large and daunting process. The top 50 preseason is the top 50 teams in the country as voted on by our ranking committee, which is comprised of 8 to 10 coaches around the country that gather information from their districts, and we compile it all together, and we have a phone call, conference call meeting, and then vote on a preseason top 50. 25 of those teams have capsules that are going online as well as in the issue. There's a high school feature that details three of these teams with quotes from their coaches and the expectations that they have for the season. We have the All-America teams, which will be going up on Thursday, consisting of, you know, short scouting reports on the first team All-Americans as well as stats for them, and then stats for the second and third team All-Americans. And those are voted on by scouting directors, USA Baseball and Baseball Factory. They also partake in the voting. We also have a new top 100, which has a few slight adjustments to it based on the All-America voting, the best tools for the high school prospects for the draft. We will also be launching a high school blog this year that will have a lot of stuff that has draft stuff in it, but also just regular high school stuff. They don't have to be draft prospects or just player news to be on the blog. And then also we have some interesting games and tournaments that we want to watch for. So that is what the high school preview contains. And Connor, I know I speak for myself, and I'm sure I can speak for you as well. I am super, super psyched about the season finally getting underway.
Absolutely, me too. It's it's been a long time, long layoff for us since we, were watching so much baseball over the summer, and I was going through withdrawals, and it's good to be back in the swing of things. I just hope we can all get healthy around the office here because we've all been kind of sick.
We have all been very under the weather. I know I got sick in the middle of putting this issue to bed, and that was probably the worst timing I've had in my life when it comes to projects and illnesses. And several of us have been ill lately, but we're all starting to recover. The weather's getting nice. We're getting out to games, and
It felt great last weekend to go out and see some real baseball.
It sure did. The Caribbean Series, as exciting as it can be, watching it on MLB Network was cool, but it just wasn't quite cutting it for me.
Right. There's no comparison to actually getting out and seeing baseball firsthand.
Exactly. Yep. And you and I went to UNC last week and saw them play George Washington, and that it was good to just get out in the sun and hear the ping and the crack of the mitts, and it was good.
Absolutely. So, no doubt.
Definitely excited. So, but one of the first entities of the high school preview we'll talk about is the high school preseason top 50. And Connor, this is one of the biggest projects that I have, is trying to get this list together, and it's not all done by myself.
I wanted to actually ask you, you kind of touched on it a little bit in the intro, but talk a little bit more about the whole process of putting the list together and ranking these teams, because there's thousands of high school teams across the country, and it's got to be hard trying to line them up, so talk a little bit more about that process, because we don't do too many high school podcasts around here, and I don't think people are really in tune to how this all works. So,
well, the process is certainly there isn't an exact science to it because it is high school baseball. There are, you know, thousands of schools that, you know, have high school baseball programs. Obviously, not all of them have strong high school baseball programs, but the ones that do deserve to be recognized, you know, need to be in there. And what we do is we have a committee that has that is divided up into eight districts, and each district has a representative, and that representative is a coach of a high school in that area, in that district. And what he does is he has his contact list for, you know, the several states that he covers. And there's no really rhyme or reason to how the U.S. is, you know, split up, but you can guess it's pretty standard.
Regional.
I mean, it's very regional. You know, there's the Southeast, and then Texas and Louisiana are in the same one with Oklahoma. But because those states are so big, that's one district, whereas the Northeast has like 10 states.
Right.
So it's
kind of like
that.
A scouting department.
It is. It's exactly like a scouting department if you split the country up eight ways. And the coach in that district has his contact list.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he goes through his contacts and he lines up the teams in his district. So they're essentially district or regional rankings.
Right.
So if we split up our top 25 for college, you know, based on regions, you would see it in a certain order. So what we do is then we take each of those lists from the coaches and we put all the information together in one sheet, and they provide us with info, you know, saying, well, this team has this many Division I signees, this many potential pro draft picks, you know, things like this, this many returning starters from a state championship team, or they lost in a state championship, but, you know, 11 guys are back, so on and so forth.
Sure.
And then we pass all that information, once we get it all, back out to the coaches. There's the eight district coaches, there's two at-large guys who are, you know, basically veterans of the committee who provide their insight. There is my co-chair, Ron Deviney, who is the executive director of the National High School Baseball Coaches Association, who's the committee that we partner with on this. And then myself, the executive chair of the committee. And we vote. And we take all this information and we vote on a top 50 for the preseason. And that is how the preseason list has come comes together.
Yeah.
And then in season, it's the same thing. You know, every 2 weeks, the guys gather their information, they keep up with the teams, and then they adjust it accordingly as to what happens. You know, teams win, teams lose, you know, teams rise out of nowhere, teams just fall off the face of the earth.
Right.
And we do top 25s within the season, and then at the end of the season, when it's all said and done, everyone's won their state championships, we do another top 50.
Yep. Okay.
So that's the process. I think it's one of the better ones, because I don't think we get more insight. I don't think you can get more insight.
Right.
I mean, certainly you can talk to more people, but we pretty much maximize our contacts. And I don't think anyone does it quite like us. And there's lots of other lists out there, and I know that they all do a lot of work. But we have, you know, 10 guys that are talking to another 10 to 20 to 30 guys themselves. Around the country. So there's a lot of good information coming in from around the country to put this list together. So I feel very strongly about it.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, you talked about, you know, some of the important factors for finding out who these good teams are, you know, returning starters, of course, pro prospects, and you'll, you know, listeners will notice when this list comes out that a lot of these schools have, you know, guys from our top 100 are on these teams. You know, it's no coincidence that the good teams have the good players.
It is. It definitely is not a coincidence whatsoever. I mean, you know, these teams in high school baseball, you know, it's like college baseball. You can be strong up the middle, but and one player can carry a team, but the top teams in the country, the ones that you're going to see on this list, you know, they're going to have that one guy that's probably in the top 100. There's only one team. There's two teams with two guys in the top 100, maybe three. But beyond those guys, there's guys behind them that might not be in the top 100, but they're still Division I guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're going to play for good Division I programs and, you know, maybe excel and become pro guys later. But, you know, you've got the name guys at the top of that team, but then they've got a good supporting cast behind them. And that's what it really takes to, you know, have some of the top team in the country.
I mean, you know, we were talking about how there's thousands of different teams. Having more than one D1 guy on a high school team is really good.
It is.
You know, in the grand scheme of things.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, there's the top team this year, Bel Air, to start the season, has... you know, several Division I signees, and they even have underclassmen that are, you know, Division I verbal. They can't be signees yet, obviously. But,
and that's Bel Air, Texas.
Bel Air,
not
Texas.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Not Fresh Prince of Bel Air in California, not the little lake town that I used to go to in Bel Air, Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, it's Bel Air outside of Houston, a very good program, and if you know your baseball very well, it's where Chuck Knobloch went to high school.
Okay.
So they have they are the number one team to start the season, and that's their formula, as they have strength in pitching and they have several Division I signees returning. You know, those guys are back from last year. They got bounced from the playoffs early, but they're back and very good, looking to make some noise.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil the whole, you know, top 50 here, but talk about, you know, there's a number of teams on this list that are kind of high school powerhouses, you could say, teams that are on this list year in
constantly.
And year out. Talk about a few of those and what, you know, makes them such good programs.
Well, the I did a story on this a couple of years ago about, you know, the high school dynasty, and a lot of coaches got scared when I threw out that word dynasty.
Yeah.
But, you know, a team like a good example is Owosso in Oklahoma. You know, they started 6A competition in Oklahoma in the mid-90s. I think it was 1995 or 1996. And since then, Owosso has been to the state finals 12 out of 13 years, something, you know, crazy like
right.
that. And you wonder, you know, what's in the water? You know, it's not, you know, an enormous city. It's not Houston. And even when it is a big city like that, they're not all going to the same high school. What it is they instill this tradition among the community that when the young kids that are 9, 10 years old running out to see, you know, maybe their older brother or just going with their dad, their neighbor, going to see their neighbor play or something like that, they go out and they see Owosso baseball and they see this tradition and they, you know, they want to be a part of that, and they really buy into it. They go to the camps, and the Owosso kids, the Owosso players, you know, help run the camps. The coaches help run the camps, and they really put out their values of the program, and they buy into it from an early age. And another good example is Horizon High in Arizona. When I talked to their coach, Coach Kibler, a couple of years ago, for this story, he said, you know, they buy into our tradition, and when a kid is 9 or 10 years old sitting in the stands watching us play against, you know, other Scottsdale teams or teams from, you know, the Phoenix area, you know, they look at their parents, they say, I want to be a Husky. I want to be a Husky ball player. And that's what it really takes to, you know, have a strong high school program.
Sure. Like what you see with... typically associated with Texas high school football. That
exactly.
sort of thing. That
exactly.
sort of mentality, yep.
Yep, you buy into the tradition at an early age, and it has a lot to do with what the program does to promote themselves within the community. So, but that's you know, the basics of the top 50 preseason, so be sure to check those online at baseballamerica.com, and also check out the feature where I highlighted Edison High School in Huntington Beach, California, Farragut High in Knoxville, Tennessee, as well as Columbus High in Miami. Three very strong programs that are going to look to challenge Bel Air for the national title this year. Some very interesting stuff going on with those schools, so be sure to check that out. Another piece to our high school preview is the All-Americans, which is voted on by scouting directors. USA Baseball also votes on the players, as does Baseball Factory, a scouting partner of ours. And Connor, you and I both worked on these capsules and are very familiar with these players. And we won't give away, you know, the whole teams, because this are actually coming out. You know, you're listening to this on a Wednesday. These are coming out on Thursday. But is there anyone that you want to just pick out real quick from any of the teams that you want to point out that's you know, a player to keep an eye on or highlight?
Yeah, I mean, two players actually kind of jumped out at me. You know, I think a lot of the players that made our first team All-American team were expected, you mm-hmm. know, the top guys that we've seen all summer and some of the top players in our top 100 high school, draft list. But the two guys that kind of stood out because there wasn't as much consensus, I guess, or it was a little more split than I thought it might be, was at catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Ovechkin is our first team All-American catcher,
mm-hmm.
and that was... it's not a surprise because Levisky's a great catcher, and we saw him and really liked him this summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a position where there wasn't a consensus as much as some of these other positions. It was a little more, the vote was a little more spread out, which put Levisky up there at the top, and that was interesting to me to see that it was kind of a position where there wasn't as much consensus,
mm-hmm.
As some of the other positions, and I think that kind of talks about how there isn't maybe one guy that stands out this year at catcher, but also the fact that teams and club officials evaluate catchers differently, I think, than other positions.
Mm-hmm.
Some you could tell that some clubs really put a strong emphasis on defense at that position.
Absolutely.
And some, would vote for the guy maybe with a better bat that might have, questions about whether or not he can stay behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take a chance on that kid who can really hit,
mm-hmm.
And try to work him out and, hope that he can get good enough to stay there, as he progresses through the minor leagues. So that was kind of interesting to me. And then the second one was Stetson Alley and just how much support he got at third base.
Mm-hmm.
We saw him all summer, and I knew that he was really strong, and I knew he could hit. I saw him hit a broken bat home run. I've talked about that a lot because it's one of the things that really stood out for me this summer. But I just didn't really think he would get that much support as a third baseman just because of how special his arm strength is. And, I figured he would be more of a unanimous selection for him as a pitcher, but it was more of a split vote on him, which stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Any surprises there for you? Or?
Well, I think the surprise for me kind of goes in hand with your with Alex Levisky, and nothing
right.
against Alex, he's a great ball player. Guys really like his swing. I like him defensively. He's very strong. He's also a good kid. I got to talk
great
with
leader.
Him.
Great leader, yeah.
Good leader, very good leader. We know he can handle velocity.
That's
because
right.
he's a teammate of Stetson Alley
yep.
In high school. And I got to talk to Alex a lot at Jupiter. We were sitting watching a game together, and we, talked for several innings. He's a great kid. Was really looking forward to, Georgia Tech as his commitment. I really like him as a catcher. But my surprise was with Stephen Sobol not being the first team catcher.
Yeah.
In looking back at it, I don't think, it's necessarily saying Levisky is the better player, because Sobol, is very high on our top 100, whereas Levisky...
Yeah, he's much higher than
Levisky. Sobol is way near the top, and Levisky's, middle of the road of our top 100. But in looking at it, trying to kind of figure out what happened, I came up with this. Sobol, some guys think he can catch, some guys don't. Now, where I think that came into, effect the All-America team is if they didn't think he could catch, they didn't vote for him. And some teams, instead of not voting for him at all, they wrote him in elsewhere.
Yeah.
One team wrote him in as an outfielder, someone wrote him in as a third baseman, things like that. And then, some teams just left him off completely. They didn't add him in anywhere else. And I think with the point system, that's, another thing that ended up, kind of messing with the results, I guess. And even though the results are clean, he gets second team, even though
right.
he deserves, quite possibly to be a first teamer in terms
yeah,
of
yeah, it
just
was close. It was
player.
Close.
But he's recognized. He's on the second team, and all of those players are very good ball players
very, very
with
good.
Very, very promising futures.
Yeah.
And Sobol is no exception. He's got an exceptional bat, and we certainly wish high things to come for him in the future.
Absolutely. And you and I were both really happy with how this layout turned out. If you pick up, I'm not sure how it's going to look online, but if you pick up the magazine,
they're working on it to be something similar. But if Get the magazine.
Yeah, if you pick up the magazine or if you subscribe, you know, the layout of the All-American team is exceptional. It really jumps off the page, and it really looks great.
Yeah, we'll give a shout-out to our production staff member, Tiffany Schwartz.
Yep.
She did an outstanding job laying this out and designing it. It really just jumps off the page, and she did an excellent job. So I was very, very pleased with it. So be sure to pick up the magazine off newsstands and frame it, because it would look good on a wall in a frame. So, but that's the All-Americans. You know, those will go up Thursday. Going up with the All-Americans on Thursday will also be a new and slightly tweaked high school top 100. High school top 100 for the draft prospects.
Yep.
Which also includes the best tools for the top prospects. And Connor, you want to tell us a little bit about that, since that is you know, your bread and butter.
Yeah, sure. Put the best. I mean, the top 100. We put out the last one right after Jupiter, I think. Obviously, not too much can change between now and then. Just maybe a little bit, you know, because nobody's really played. But just a little bit of shuffling based on some, you know, feedback we got from the top, from the All-American ballots, and just, you know, some more general feedback from, you know, working our beat and trying to figure all these guys out. So a little bit of shuffling here and there for the top 100. And then the best tools, just like the college best tools, you know, we list best athlete, best pure hitter, best power, fastest runner, best defender, and then for pitchers, best fastball, best secondary pitch, best command, most intriguing background, closest to the majors, and helium potential for guys, you know, lower down the list that could vault up based on what they do this spring. Jameson Taillon pretty much ran away with the pitching categories, which shouldn't be a surprise. You know, as the number one guy on our list and a unanimous first-team All-American. So that shouldn't surprise anybody. I won't spoil any other surprises because I think it's worth a read, but there's some good nuggets in there, I think. So
definitely some good nuggets.
Yep.
So, we also mentioned before that with the high school preview, we're launching a high school blog now. And it's not just going to be limited to draft stuff. You know, we found that in the past. You know, if you and I went to a game or something newsworthy happened in the country, you know, we didn't really have a place for it when we wanted to blog it.
Yeah, there was always that kind of gray area.
We kind of were fitting the square peg in the round hole of, you know, well, it's high school, so just put it on the draft blog, whatever.
Right.
You know, the guy might not get drafted, but, you know, he's draft eligible, obviously, or he will be down the road. Well, now we have a high school blog, which will, you know, give us the venue for such news. One of the perfect places for it, and even though it's, you know, kind of sad news and would have been, you know, a tough way to kick off the blog, was when John Stevenson, the head coach in California for El Segundo High, when he passed away, before we got a full-blown news story on who he was, it would have been great to have that blog to just say, you know, legendary coach John Stevenson passes away. You know, he had gone to the playoffs, you know, 46 out of his 50 seasons or something.
Yeah, something remarkable.
Crazy like that. You know, he was all 50 seasons. He was at the same high school. Coach George Brett. You know, that would have been a good quick hit blog item.
Right.
And we didn't have that blog. Or if you and I go to a game and it's got an underclassman or, you know, an interesting D1 guy, but we know he's not a draft prospect and we want to write about him, high school blog is going to be a good place for
that.
Or just a game in general. We saw, you know, a 1-1 12 inning pitcher's duel between two guys. You know, that's fun to blog and not necessarily, you know, worthy in the draft blog. So now we have the high school blog for that.
Yep.
And we're really interested to see how it goes, and we certainly want to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
If there's something you want to see
on the high school blog.
Yeah,
I mean,
tell
I know
us
we're
what you want. You know, we're going to try to get a little bit of video up there because Connor got this really sweet new camera for Christmas. Try to use that. You already saw a little example with the Gauntlet Eldemeyer video, which if you haven't seen that yet, check it out on Draft Blog.
It's on the Draft
really
Blog,
cool.
Yep.
You know, we're gonna go shoot for things
I'd like to do some player interviews on there.
Yep.
Q&As, you know.
Sure.
I'd really like it to be a place where high school baseball players can come, learn about what other kids are doing throughout the country, and you know, make it a community where they can, you know, post comments and talk about, you know, teams in their area and really, you know, get that feedback going and that communication.
Absolutely. And one of the blogs that you'll read about with the preview right now is I highlighted some interesting games to watch. There's lots of intriguing matchups this year. There's the national tournaments that happen every year that have the top teams facing each other. But there's also going to be some good matchups around the country, just games that pit a prospect against a prospect.
Yep.
I'm really interested to see if Cam Bedrosian has to face Zach Alvord when East Coweta faces South Forsyth. Stefan Cebol might have to face Peter Tago when Alyssa Nagel and Dana Hills goes against each other. So I highlighted a few of those, so be sure to check that out on the blog because that'll have some interesting stuff. And when
if you're a high school baseball fan or if you know you'd like following the draft, that'll be a good place to come and see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's any games going on in your area, that you can go, you know, see some of these top prospects.
Exactly. And when those games do happen, we'll blog it. We'll talk about it. If something interesting happens, that's the perfect place for it. It's a good landing spot.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, that is the basics of all the high school preview, which is now up at baseballamerica.com and also going up tomorrow, Thursday, February 25th. Connor, is there anything else that you want to add before we start to wrap things up here?
Well, I mean, we have one of those, some of those interesting matchups right in our backyard here.
We do. We do. Yeah. We actually, you and I are going to have a very interesting first week of March. We have some good underclassmen that are pitching. The Impact Invitational is an event put on by Impact Baseball, which is a scouting and development camp program that's in North Carolina, and they also dabble with South Carolina players and Virginia players.
Yep.
But it's mostly North Carolina, and they put on this event that has 18 teams play. So there's 9 games, 3 games during 3 different time slots, and there's some good prospects playing. Connor and Aaron's going to play. Matt
Graham.
Matt Roberts.
Matt Roberts.
Yeah, Matt Graham's with
Graham
the Giants
High School.
Now. Matt Roberts, who goes to Graham High School, he'll be playing. Dylan Maples, an underclassman from Pinecrest High, will be pitching. He's strong right-hander, you know, sitting low 90s, we're told.
Yep.
Benton Moss could possibly be pitching. We haven't confirmed that yet.
Yeah, it's a good year for 2011. Will be a good year for pitchers in the state.
It will be very good for North Carolina. Pitchers, I think all right-handers, actually.
Yeah. Maples, Moss, and
Adam Griffin, who hopefully on the following Tuesday, I think it's like March 9th, we're going to try to see him over by Winston-Salem facing Ty Linton, who's an outfielder with Charlotte Christian, very very athletic, also a high school football recruit, big-time recruit for North Carolina.
Yep.
Those two will be facing each other likely, which should be one of the intriguing matchups. So that'll be more good blog items. So high school blog is taken off already. We've got 15 posts all done. So
it's a good time of year.
Virtually done. So, but that's the stuff of the high school preview. We thank you for joining us. He's Connor Glassy. I'm Nathan Lerodi, and we were joining you live here from the DeMarini Demo House Podcast Nook in Durham, North Carolina. When it comes to buying a baseball bat, DeMarini just changed the game. Introducing Demo House, where you can step into the cage and hit the latest from DeMarini before you buy, because there's no substitute for hitting a real baseball or talking to people who know both bats and batting. Your demo time in the cage is free. Get the season started right. Visit your nearest demo house today. Locations and full details can be found at demarini.com/demo house. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good one.